Yeah.
and just condense it. And people don't understand that it really takes a lot, willpower for me, to go through a paragraph like that and make sense of what are you saying? What do you mean? What does
Sure,
it amount
sure.
to?
Absolutely. Well, two of the things that really catch my eye when I'm copy editing on Wikipedia and other places is that the confusion between your and your has just become endemic across the society, I think. A lot of people seem to have given up on trying to understand the difference between them. I had saw somebody on a internet forum once suggest that we should pronounce the words differently. That is to say, we should pronounce it your if we're talking about you are, and your if it's the possessive. But I just think it's important for us to recognize there is a difference there, and it matters. And if yeah, like what Oduit said about how we come across to the rest of the world is one of the reasons I think that's so important, especially with that split. And then the it's question, the basic thing I always say to my students, and sometimes I even make them chant it so that they might sink in, is that there is no apostrophe in the possessive it. If you're talking about the robot cutting off its arm, there is no apostrophe there.
I
So I
often
don't know.
try to solve that problem on Wikipedia by telling people there shouldn't be contractions in their writing anyway.
Okay, why not? Tell us about why not, because that's come up before. And when I first got to Wikipedia, that kind of threw me. I'm like, what's wrong with contractions? Talk about that a little bit, what of it.
It's pretty informal, and we try to have formal writing on Wikipedia, and so to have those contractions makes it look like you're writing the way you speak. Looks conversational. And so if you find yourself writing in contraction, you know that you're starting to write conversationally.
Sure.
And so you shouldn't even be using the its forms. You shouldn't even
Right.
run into that problem, I always tell
Right.
people.
Yeah.
Of course, it would be nice if they knew the difference.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I mean, that's one of the things I think too is that Wikipedia has a house style. And of course, any place you're writing for is going to have a house style. But I think a lot of people come into the project thinking, well, you know, I understand MLA style or APA or whatever it is. And I feel like, or they know some, you know, their English classes have been very comprehensive and they feel like they have a really good, you know, hold on the language. And they probably do. But when writing for Wikipedia, there's a certain way we're going to write. And it's important for us to orient
Well,
ourselves in that
there's
direction.
so many
So,
different things. One thing I
Phil,
would
did you
like
have
to say is
something
I
else
like
you
to
wanted to
see
mention?
text self-contained. Now, there's kind of a danger on Wikipedia that I notice all the time is to just say, well, I'll just put a wiki link, a blue link here, and I don't actually have to explain this obscure term. I can just put a blue link, and that'll be. Sometimes they even forget the blue link. They just say, well, here's this complicated phrase or term, which may have a separate article on it about it on Wikipedia, and they don't even bother to put a blue link in there or search for the appropriate blue link. And so the poor reader who's looking through it either is clicking just constantly to try to figure out what's going on, or it has to go and look up the blue link himself or look somewhere else. And really, I think most articles should be sort of self-contained, again, in the accessibility question. But if there is a Wikipedia article on that topic, it's nice to not only have it self-contained, but to have a so the person can look to get a little more information. After all, that's the whole point of a hyperlinked document. That's what makes it different than previous several centuries worth of writing, is we do have hyperlinked documents, and we should be taking advantage of that. But maybe we shouldn't be overlinking, and we also should make it as part of the house style, exactly. Yep.
This is part of a house style question, isn't it? Yeah, what is overlinking? What is underlinking? What kind of quotation marks should we use?
When
What
I
kind of
did it
spelling should we
wrong and people
use?
corrected me.
How did all of you learn the house style?
Maria,
Usually it
we haven't
was
heard
just
from you in a
somebody
while.
coming.
That's right. Same with me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Maria,
that's it's somebody
same with
comes along
me.
and says you're doing it wrong, and then you learn the right way, basically. You learn by example on
That's right.
Wikipedia.
I'm one of those people who actually reads the freaking manual. So I, you know, when I was doing the first article on Balzac, a lot of it I think said you should check out the manual of style at some point. And so I actually went, sat down one day and just read the whole thing from start to finish. Now I know a lot of people probably aren't going to do that. So it's a good idea, I think, to yeah, you know, be bold and write articles and have people comment on them. But then also sort of try to check yourself as you're writing, and the more you can improve the process as you're doing it, the less people will have to clean up after you, on the second time around or whatever it is.
Well, I still haven't
Somebody
read
else
the
want to talk
manual
about
style except very
how they
selected
got good
pieces
at
when people
learning house
said, well,
style?
you're doing this the wrong way. And
It keeps changing every week, so you might want to, yeah.
Well, actually, I think we've got a number of ways here then. We've got people who just sort of learned it ad hoc as people corrected them. I actually also read the entire manual of style. I took like several days and read the whole thing. And actually now the signpost is having monthly updates about what changes. So that's actually very helpful. So you don't have to keep rereading it for all the changes that keep getting made. I mean, I think it is helpful to know the style so that, you know, you don't have to get into big debates about, you know, that the sort of minutia of the writing that you can have
spaced,
already
spaced
out.
And dashes are okay instead of
right, exactly.
And dashes, that sort
but
of
I think
thing.
Another way to learn it is to say, oh, I have a question about what should I do about dashes or what should I do about the serial comma, and then just go look up that particular thing that day. And then you can just learn it over, you know, a period of months.
Sure.
I think Money had something to say about the house style.
Yeah, very much like Maria, I learned it just by writing and being corrected. And my first couple featured article candidates were rather frustrating because lots of reviewers have different concepts of what is in the manual of style. And when they change so quickly, then lots of people have, you know, conflicting ideas of what's in the manual of style, and so people who are learning it that way often get very frustrated, and I know I was, because people were giving me conflicting advice about how to do it. So reading it, of course, and then being updated on it is advisable, but it's difficult to do it because it is such a large page and it does change so quickly and there's so many different small details on it. Recently, I wrote my most recent article to be featured in the future without linked dates. And of course, the first change somebody made to it was linking the dates, and he didn't realize that had been dropped. And it was actually still in contention. It's still under contention for being dropped, should it be in the manual of style or not. So keeping up with the changes is difficult.
Yeah.
I would also like to promote the idea of automating things from the manual of style. So like, I'm very excited about the dash bot that User Brighter Orange made that fixes all the dashes.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to learn the dash rules, you can just use these various bots, for example, that people have made for things.
Mm-hmm. I'm always a little nervous about letting technology take care of things like that, just because I've seen The Matrix too many times. And my dad never let me go skiing with poles. He's like, what do you do if you lose the poles and you don't know how to stop? And I'm I always tell my students not to trust spell check for the same reason. Maria, did you have something about things that you've learned in the house style?
Well, the thing about the manual style is that I understand why they created it, the Wikipedia gods, why they created it, why it exists. but
the
there's
cabal.
Yes, there's things about it that really bugs me as somebody who I'm getting my master's in English. I think I have some kind of a hold over the English language, and then I come to Wikipedia and then they start telling me that I'm supposed to be using logical quotations where the commas and the punctuation goes outside of the quotation marks, and everything I learned said that you don't do that. It looks sloppy, it's unprofessional. And then when I take my first featured article to Wikipedia, everybody at featured article candidate, people go in and they change all of them, and I'm going, no, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then you read the manual style, at least parts of it, like I have, and you go, oh, so this
that's
is
how they do it here.
And then I end up doing that in my papers, and my professors yell at me.
Right, no doubt. It's tricky to be able to switch gears so much between different things that your audiences you're writing for. You know, Langston Hughes said, my motto as I live and thrive is to speak and understand all jive. And I think that's something we have to do when we're writing. And I tell my students this all the time. You can tell me to shut up if you get sick of hearing me say that phrase. I tell my students. But, you know, when you're talking to your friends at the Burger King parking lot, it's a different way of speaking than when you're going for a job interview. And I think writing is the same way, except that, in Wikipedia, we have there's a specific way of doing certain things. And it's just a matter of learning how to do those things and learning to turn off that part of your brain when you go back to other places that have a different way of doing it. So.
Well, one of the things is the national spelling rules. I mostly write British articles about British topics. So I have to write in British English. But I speak American English, so it's much easier for me to write it all in American English and then sort of translate it into British English. But I've noticed that British English spellings have started to creep into my dissertation as I'm writing, because I'm just getting more familiar with British spelling. So now I've had to like fix the dissertation spellings back to American English.
When I was like 16, I fell in love with the British spelling of color and honor, and I don't think I've spelled them the American way ever since. But I think that's sort of personal preference. But I think I'm going to need you to help me with Emmeline Pankhurst when I get ready to send that along, because I know that should be British English and it's not currently. I'm trying
again,
to do it.
The manual style has a nice little chart for
I'm
British
trying to help
English,
you that.
Australian English, Canadian English.
I spell an organization with an S, but I worry that I'm letting things through. I wonder if we could talk real quickly about the importance of reading on Wikipedia, because, you know, when we talk about how to get better at things, I tell my students all the time that the best way to get better at writing is to read a lot, and that's what most people will say.
I tell my students that, too.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think it's something that we agree upon. But one of the things I think is interesting that Stephen King said is that we can learn as much from bad writing as we can from good writing, because if you read something that's poorly written, our brains tend to say, hey, wait, that's wrong. And so we're sort of reinforcing in our minds what it is that's wrong. Now, of course, the caveat there is that you have to know that it's wrong. So, you know, that it's not that you just read anything and you'll get better all the time. But I don't know. I found reading to be immensely helpful for me. And even reading other people's work on Wikipedia can be useful, because you're seeing things come up over and over again, and you're thinking logically about how to organize articles.
Well, you're thinking about the kinds of questions to ask about your own article.
Right.
I mean, this is why it's so beneficial for students to read terrible writing, you know, so that they think, wow, I should think about having paragraph divisions. You know, if they read a paper that has no paragraph divisions, for example, you know, then they think, wow, I should have paragraphs. It's extremely useful for them. I mean, I'm thinking the kinds of questions my students should really ask themselves. some Wikipedia articles need to ask that, too. There are some that are just like blocks of text, you know, that have no paragraphs. But I mean, when you start to ask questions about writing, about other people's work, you start to internalize that set of questions that you have to ask yourself. It's extremely useful.
No doubt. Maria, Moni, Phil, thoughts on that?
Well, on the blocks of paragraphs, there is a sense of style to the aesthetics of an article as well, where, you know, overwhelming paragraphs are overwhelming, and, you know, people aren't going to want to slog all the way through them, and there's just a balance not only to the writing, but a balance to how the article appears as you can scroll through it, and you can pick out information, and you can concentrate on the entire topic as a whole, and because it is stylized writing, it's an article, it's not a novel, it's an article, and you're supposed to be able to get, you know, as an overview, get information quickly, get the most important parts, and get it uniformly throughout the site.
Phil, I was just going to mention, a little technology glitch here.
I guess not.
I was going to mention
one of the things
go ahead.
No, that's fine.
That is another thing that really strikes me. As something that I run into all the time. I quite often find people who don't quite understand where to divide things up into paragraphs, or maybe they did, and through copy editing of dozens of people, things kind of the original organization might have become lost with people adding and subtracting things. And I very often will notice two or three different paragraphs, or conversely, I'll notice one big paragraph that has two or three separate ideas all lumped into one paragraph, when really it probably should be two or three separate paragraphs. And that's another common mistake in Wikipedia I notice.
Yeah, no doubt. One of the things we had talked about is, and we're running a little short on time here, but just to really quickly talk about this, you know, there was this League of Copy Editors that came, and it served a good function for a while, and then I guess it got overloaded, and people just weren't participating in things, and it's now a defunct project. I'm wondering if folks have thoughts about how we can emphasize to people how important copy editing is and get more people doing it.
Well,
because it's something
idea,
that really needs to
what
be
I
done
like to, do.
To a lot of articles. A lot of
as
articles.
You know, I quite often have been involved in some pretty serious controversial areas, but I've taken a break from that for the last couple of months, and I just will pick up a topic of something I'm interested in or a movie I just saw, and I'll look it up on Wikipedia, and just while I'm watching TV or doing something else, listening to the radio, I'll just, or working in another window, I'll just idly copy edit that article. And if I find any interesting terms or things I want to, while I'm copy editing, I'll click on those, I'll copy edit those articles. And I will just follow along a chain of dozens of articles like that whenever I feel motivated or just bored or whatever, I want something to do. And I find I can do at least a light job of copy editing, and I think improving, or I hope improving, these articles pretty quickly. It's pretty easy. It's very low stress by and large, because most of the articles I go to are not the real heavily trafficked articles. You know, if you just randomly pick things you're interested in, or that you've run into in your daily life, you know, about a dish you ate at your grandmother's or something, you can find lots of a little technique in a big controversial area, or not some huge contentious fight or debate with someone else about how the article should read. And so you can just very easily and quickly just whip through an article, link it, fix the spacing, fix the paragraphs, fix the sentences, grammar, spelling, and so on and so forth. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you can easily make quite a few edits to improve it drastically, and then just move on to the next one. And not really worry about moving it up, you know. I mean, normally what I'm working on are start level or stub level or B level articles that just are in terrible shape for paragraphs. And that's another thing. They're actually a little easier on the eyes, a little easier to read. I'm not really obsessing about can I get this to GA or FA status. I'm just doing it for fun. And if you think about it as just fun, it's really not that onerous at all. FAs are onerous, that's for sure.
Let's see. Moni had something about the League of Copy Editors.
Well, the League of Copy Editors was quite a very useful service, and in a couple of my first featured articles, I used them. But they did start to get backlogged, and I really didn't
What I
see
like to do.
exactly what happened. But it kind of got the impression that they weren't really getting rewarded enough for what they were doing. And one of the copy editors that has been very, very helpful with my articles is a user named DanK55. Has mentioned that copy editors need to get more love. They need to get a better reward than just a barn star and a monumental thank you. What that would be, I don't know, but because even as article writers, we get a barn star sometimes, and we get a little bronze star, and we get just the self-satisfaction of knowing that we wrote a really, really good article that was well researched, and lots of people read it, and becomes a well-read
Motivated
article
or
throughout the internet and a standard of writing. But what is it that our copy editors get when we write a lot and happen to muck it all up, and they come in, they clean it up behind us, and they actually turn it from questionable, what were you trying to say, into brilliant prose. So
Right.
if it doesn't exist, then on Wikipedia, why not create something for it?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, personally speaking, I found that the template structure of the League of Copy Editors got too obtuse for me to really be able to deal with, because there was all this stuff about adding code here and changing things over there and all these different pages. And I think that may have contributed to its decline, but obviously there's a lot of other elements in the equation as well. Maria, you had something about the league or some other thing?
Well, yes, even though it is defunct, there are some wonderful copy editors out there. But some people don't realize how long and it takes to copy edit an article. And I mean, really copy edit. And it's not only just a matter of knowing proper English or knowing what sounds good and what doesn't, but also, of course, like we just discussed, but also knowing in great detail how the manual style works. And so I know when I look at featured article candidates, the first comment is always from somebody who gives a few examples from the lead, the lead section of the article. And then they say, this article needs a copy edit throughout. But that's as far as they go. And I think what we need to do is stress that copy editing needs to be done before you get to that stage. And it needs to be done throughout the process. Because most of the time, you'll write an article, then you bring it to good article, and then you add more. So getting it copy edited before you nominate it to GA doesn't do much good. If it is promoted, you add more stuff, you completely rewrite the article, and then you go straight to FAC.
Right.
And the fact that people don't go through that process, I think, really hurts their chances when they get to featured article candidates, because people are looking for that brilliant prose. And in order to get that, you often have to get two or three, maybe even more people to look at your article in great detail with these little tiny pinpricks of manual of style goodies. And that takes quite a time, so it's difficult.
Yeah. What did you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I know that when I copy edit articles, it takes me several days, multiple hours per day, maybe like 6 hours per day on a decent sized article. It's very, very time consuming. Also, because you have to leave long lists of questions for people, oftentimes because you don't understand what they were trying to say, or you don't know the topic of an article. I once copy edited a hockey article, and I don't know anything about hockey. And so I had to leave lots of questions because I didn't even know the basic subject matter. So it's even more difficult when you're trying to copy edit an article that you don't know anything about. But I actually wondered, I have a somewhat controversial question. I wonder whether it is worthwhile to copy edit articles that aren't well researched. Because,
or maybe we could just say aren't ready for that level.
Yeah,
of
or aren't
analysis.
Researched at all. You know, they don't have any
that's
sources
a question.
Or, you know, that sort of thing. Because once they are researched, they will be completely rewritten. I mean, I can see both sides to that question, actually. I can see why it would be a good thing to have every article copy edited so that every article looks respectable. But I can also see
well,
the incredible time investment that could be
often.
Put into
yeah,
that.
That's a good question, and it's something
might
I've
not,
thought about
we
myself.
We might
at
not
length,
have the resources for
because
that.
Most of the articles
Phil?
Time into are really pretty poor. As I say, they're stubs, they're starts, they're B class, and so on. And they're quite poorly written, and quite often don't have any sources or minimal sources associated with them. And so I've wondered, I thought many times, should these just be chucked and thrown out and somebody rewrite it from scratch? And I finally, after pondering this for a while, I realized there still is a value to at least doing a light copy edit that might, rather than go 6 days into it, you might spend, I don't know, 3-4 hours at most, maybe even an hour at most, in some cases, just cleaning it up and polishing it. And the reason is that if I can expose some of the salient features and ideas in the article, then I or someone who comes after me can even know what needs to be to have a source for it. I mean, when it's hard to even understand what the point of the article is, you can't even see the main ideas because it's so poorly written and needs a good copy edit. It's kind of like polishing it up a little bit, and then you can see its real weaknesses and you can add those in. Before it's cleaned up, you can't even really tell where you might need a source or if you need a source, because you can't even tell what it's trying to say. So I've decided that just a light copy edit rather can actually help, even if you're going to delete the article, because then you can even at least understand what it was trying to be about. Once you finally understand it, you say, well, still it should be deleted because unencyclopedic or what have you. At least you've made that decision based on some knowledge of what the article was attempting to do. Before copy editing, sometimes that's not that clear at all. It's so hard to read. And that's my 2 cents on that issue.
Yeah, Moni?
Well, now that Phil has kind of explained his point, I kind of understand where he's coming from. But if he's talking about stubs and start classes, if we're talking more about good articles and articles that are up for feature, then I think that the sources are going to be absolutely necessary. Because when you're talking about copy editing, you're talking about polishing, which is a word that's been used several times here. But there's got to be something to polish in the first place. There's got to be the substance there first. And you have to have the information in it before you can actually polish it in order for it to make sense. And I prefer, instead of copy editing what exists, to just rewrite it from top to bottom, about 90% of what it should be, when I start to concentrate and I overtake an article that's not as good as it should be. Because, you know, absolutely almost every, I'd say about 90% of all content disputes can be taken care of by just reading more and learning more about the topic.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, you wouldn't wax and polish the kitchen floor if you know the kids are coming home from the mud wrestling match later that day. So I think it's a matter of, yeah, recognizing which steps in the process are coming next and where to go. Just in terms of trying to find a solution to this, you know, there is a pretty lengthy and from what I can tell, well-used list of people who are willing to do peer reviews of articles. Even though the LOCE is defunct, I wonder if there's some worth in having, or maybe there is,
what
a list of people who are willing
to
do copy edits
and
a way to contact those folks. Does anybody know any information about that?
Is part
Sometimes
of that
I
list
just
of peer review
friends.
People who are willing
I just
to copy
friends.
Edit?
It might be.
I thought there were some people on there.
Let's see if I
can
pull it up. Yeah, I think that's good too.
Yeah. I feel sorry for my friends sometimes.
Yeah, no doubt. So. All right, on that note, I actually have to go. So if there are any final thoughts, maybe folks can throw them in here. Or
actually, I think we should emphasize that there are a lot of different levels of copy editing. And I think that was revealed well with both with the last few comments
well,
we had,
still,
where Phil was talking about light commenting, light copy editing on like stubs and starts, you know, just to make sure that the articles are getting across the main idea. And then we were talking about actually polishing articles that have lots of research. Those are different kinds of copy editing, and people can do different kinds of copy editing. You can be an expert at different
completely.
Kinds of copy
editing.
When
I go in and I copy
so
edit,
I think we want to emphasize that as well.
For FA status or GA status, it's an entirely different process. And I will have dozens, if not well over 100 or 200 references, and I will really, really put a huge amount of effort into it. The kind of copy editing I will very different nature. It's just something I can do while I'm waiting for a friend to call, maybe in a break in a TV program or a movie, maybe as I'm just getting ready for bed, getting ready to go to sleep, I'll just do a quick copy edit of a few things. Maybe, you know, I look up an article and I on maybe an author of a book I just read, and I realize it's a lousy article, and I'll just whip into it and just hit the 10 or 20 biggest problems. I can do it quickly. I can do it easily. I don't expect the article ever to make it to GA or FA class. All I want to do is just to clean it up a little bit so it's a little more palatable and leave it slightly better than how I found it. I'll let somebody else sweat it out a year, 2 years, 5, 10 years from now to actually push it up farther if it's ever going to happen.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. So looking here on the peer review volunteer list, there is a section for people who are willing to copy it, but it says general copy editing alongside of sort of like arts and philosophy and religion. So I can imagine some people might be a little confused maybe about what the difference between peer review and copy editing is, and I wonder if that's something we may want to address in the future or we've talked about it here. Maybe we want to try to disassociate or, you know, disambiguate the link of or the list of people doing copy editing and those doing peer reviews. But I
good.
Actually have to run, so
thanks for joining us.
Nothing else that's real urgent for folks to talk about. I will move to adjourn.
All right. I had a lot of fun.
Thank you all
Scarkle.
So very much. Yeah, this has been a great conversation, and we hope the listeners have enjoyed it as well. And hopefully we'll be back again with some more information
Bye.
Or discussion about editing on Wikipedia.
Absolutely.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.